Hey everybody, what's going on? What's going on? Fatso Radio, episode number 47. Tonight, I am so happy to share another episode with my good buddy, Scotty. I'm way back in Sault Ste. Marie this evening to chat about Scott, about everything from 2019, what we have planned for 2020, and what's going on with this whole sphere. So thank you so much for tuning in. Put your hands together. My buddy, Scotty. Lily, take it away, babe.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
So get your butt and get in your chair.
Don't eat your nails and don't pull your hair.
We'll talk about chicken or talk about steak.
We'll talk about fat for goodness sake.
Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso,
our very first podcast show.
Yeah. Hey everybody, what's up? We're back. And it's my pleasure, again, to welcome Scotty. Scotty, welcome to the show, my brother, episode number 47.
Thanks for having me again.
Awesome, man. And everybody, yeah, man, it's awesome. It's my pleasure. Like, I'm back in the suit, folks, for the holidays, visiting my family, and what better way to, you know, recap and kind of do like a year-end review and a year-end kind of episode with good buddy Scotty. Scotty, this is, I think, maybe your fourth or even fifth episode. And like I said, it's, you know, it's been a journey for me, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you is kind of let's recap our year, you know, that's passed, and let's see if there's anything that we've learned. I'm sure there's tons we've learned, things we've kind of learned the hard way, and then and just kind of how, you know, how we're going to go forward with this and how we're looking on this. So from my perspective, I can say definitely this year has been a really big year for me, focusing pretty much more to the carnivore than anything, right? I've been doing keto for a few years, and I dabbled in the carnivore last year, and really it's been kind of staying the course with me. I saw a lot of good success. I even got down about 206 earlier on this year, like around summertime, after summer even. And for me, it was, I think carnivore did two things for me. It cuts out all the sugar, but it also, because it cut out all the plants, it helped me cut out sugars. It also helped me with the cravings, I think. And it kind of, you know, helped me, you know, of course, lose some weight because you're not eating any sugar, you're eating meat and fat. I mean, where's it going to go, right? So that's been a good kind of experience for me. But again, it's been a great lesson in reality check. It's like vacations, holidays, birthdays, you know, these things come up, life comes up, stressful times at work, you know, quarter end, month end, or there's a situation at work, you know, anything goes on, right? So many things that can easily get us off the rails. So it's been a good year to kind of remind me that, hey, you can't be perfect all the fucking time, you know? Yeah, and that's kind of
one thing. We are in the midst of a sugar bender.
Exactly. Where we've had the chocolates and some candies. And yeah, like, what do you think? I mean, what are your thoughts when you think of like this year as far as your keto?
Well, coming up on 2 years.
Wow.
Of keto, dabbling a little in carnivore and thinking about making the full transition, but lately been on a real kick of into the carbs and sugar in the last week or so. So looking forward to the new year with a different plan, leaning towards carnivore again, but gonna start off with some strict intermittent fasting and keto for a couple of weeks anyways before I delve into that. That'll be like I'm thinking like next week after New Year's Eve.
Yeah, get back to regular routine.
And yeah, winter months, I guess, a little less socializing, a little easier to stay on track. And
yeah, you're right. Like, there's less, you're not going camping. You're not going.
Yeah, that'll be the thing. I'll do that. See as best I can right through until all the warm months, and that's like there's always seems to be some reason why you want to go off the rails with your regimen that you're on.
Yeah.
Whether it be Christmas, like right now, and then who knows, like maybe a vacation throughout the winter.
Yeah.
And then you roll into the summer months, and it seems to be like a little bit more alcohol or beer or whatever, and you know, food goes along with that too.
Absolutely. So. Well, and it reminds me that like almost it kind of emphasizes how the importance of like a regular routine or your baseline routine, how important it is to have a good, I guess, good base, because then when you do go off the rails for a couple of days, it's not that bad. Where if we were already off the rails,
That's right.
Years ago.
Yeah. And now we know how to get back on track.
Exactly. And it's getting easier, right? Like, we're getting, I mean, I don't want to say that we figured this out by any means, but it's definitely getting easier. When I first found success with this diet, when I fell off the rails, I was punished for days. I was punished for like a week, literally physically, because it would make me feel so bad. Now I can tolerate a little bit more, but now I have to play this dance where now I have to know my limits because I can overdo it as well. And like, it's weird.
You really have to keep your finger on it. It is an addiction, but we can't stop eating. That's exactly the thing. You can quit taking some sort of hard drug if it's having a negative impact in your life, but we can never stop eating.
Yeah.
So we have to find a way to find that moderation.
I think it's probably the hardest one to do, because you have to keep on essentially being with alcoholics, but not being alcoholic.
Just having a little sip of beer every day. Having a little sip. Take a little shot of heroin, see what that's like for an addict.
Exactly. So I guess the idea is going to be like, make it easier on us. Like, the thing is, like, I'm not, you know, and you can do it two ways. You can think of it like, well, I'm going to cater to other people to make sure that they're not awkward by my position of not eating this. Or I can just make it easier for everybody and say, hey, this is what I eat. You know, this is what I don't eat, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think, too, sticking together those 30 days, those 60 days, those 90 days of like solid compliance and solid plans, that you see results, kind of reinvigorates you and to then motivate you as well. Because nothing motivates you more than seeing drop 2 plant sizes or something, you know what I mean?
That's right.
That's crazy, you know what I mean? Or your significant other says, holy cow, we just lost some weight. Or it's so in the midst of all this, do you think, like, what are we ever going to find balance in this? How the frig are we going to live in the society where, you know, there's candy and chocolates everywhere? Because I know that I can't change everybody. You know, I'm on this crusade. I'm going to try and change everybody, right? But I can't. So I know that I'm going to have to settle somewhere in the middle. And is it, I feel like, saying we have to rely on willpower is giving sugar too much power, but is it just that it? Is we just have to?
Falling off the rails sometimes seems to me, just for a short period, seems to be reinforcement enough to get back on path and stay there, because you notice the negative effects that you didn't before when you were used to taking in sugar.
That's true.
Regularly.
It's a big kick in the face, right?
It is, yeah. And it's like, oh, I was used to feeling like this every day, so I just tolerated this feeling. And then I removed it, and now I can see clearly what it does to you, and you're going through this every day of your life. For some people, their whole lives, they do right till, you know, maybe it takes their life in some way, shape, or form. But then on a daily basis, you can basically, I don't know what I'm trying to go with this, but you just can put a finger on what it's doing to you.
Yeah.
Be mindful of it.
Just and keep then a pulse on it. Yeah.
Going forward, you know, it's a reinforcement that, wow, I feel way better when I don't do that. Yeah.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense, because one of the things I've learned through this is, first of all, how your body feels, being able to read your body. Yeah. I wasn't in touch with it before. I feel like I didn't, if I had a digestive issue or if I was gassy or I don't know what the fuck caused it, I just bloaty or gassy. Now I'm like, I'm pretty, you learn a lot about your body, right? Yeah. You know what kind of foods trigger certain things. You know what kind of activities can trigger certain things. Even like a sugar binge one night might give you digestive issues and then also give you emotional distress the next day too, right? So there's the physical, emotional kind of component. So I guess learning that is a big part. And then as you're learning and you're becoming more educated, you're able to easier monitor or moderate it. Because then you know, it's okay.
Right.
If I'm smarter about check, it's like, I guess if a diabetic is better at checking their blood sugar, they're going to be better at potentially better at monitoring it or regulating it. So maybe that's the same idea, is that once we've now learning how to kind of feel our bodies and you know what good food feels like or bad food feels like, or just reinforced, because we always kind of knew, right? We always knew that junk food didn't make us feel good. But I guess at one point we didn't know that. I don't know.
Right.
There's a lot of people running around, you know, every day eating shit food and they feel great. Or they think they feel
great. They think they do until they
compare it to something.
Eat clean. Yeah. I was just thinking of it this way, just tonight, actually. I'm just thinking about a vacation and going back in my life, digging through all my memory as best as I can. I can think of a vacation as, you know, eating out in restaurants quite a bit or something like that. Overeating, for sure.
Yeah.
And must be taking in a lot more sugar and carbohydrates, like sweets too.
Yeah.
So I could just, going back, I can think on these vacations, I always feel a little bit lethargic.
Yeah.
Hard to get moving, hard to get going. And now I've done it a few times on keto, and I have that much more energy. And I'm eating clean. Like, I may take in a few more things than I would at home, just like anybody else would, but it's in a better way than it used to be. Yeah. You can actually get more things done on a vacation, do more things, see more things if you're feeling better.
It's true.
Up to it. If you're eating, if you're feeling your body properly.
Well, and it's so interesting because a lot of people, their first thought is, I just want to get away, eat and drink and do nothing.
Yeah, go crazy.
But what they don't, like maybe what you're saying is that if you just watch what you eat and drink, you'll enjoy the rest of your vacation a little more.
A lot more.
A lot more, right?
A lot more. Yeah.
And then
it's thing not is all too, about those taste buds. That's the thing. Sorry, good job.
No, you're right.
It's not all about those feeding those taste buds. You're feeding your whole body. Taste buds is just such a quick and rewardless thing to do to yourself. Always looking for these sort of catchphrases that might catch somebody else out there and make sense and make them have that click moment where this works for them.
What it's so easily compared to a drug like thing. Taste sweet, super sweet, you get a high. It's so easily compared to a drug, right? In fact, I mean, sugar is always called a drug, right? I mean, it's, I don't know. And it's like you said, it's staying in the balance. And then really part of the other thing that I'm trying to do is also, and like we always do, is like shine the light on the idea that, hey guys, this food that we said was not bad or that we said was bad. Fat. Is not bad. Yeah. You know, the fat, the meats, these whole foods, right? Yeah. Like bacon and all this stuff. And that's why, like, you know, and one of the things we want to talk about too is the last few episodes that I had with the butchers and the farmer and all the, you know, and Mike about the sugar addiction is that it's been a great way to kind of, or it's been a great last few months in this year kind of looking at it from different perspectives, right? I look at it, for example, the food that comes on your plate, it's cooked by somebody, right? But it's grown by somebody, you know, harvested, you know, by somebody, and then it's prepared by somebody else. There's all these different people that are kind of take part in this. And I don't know. It's been interesting. Like, what do you think? Just recapping on the whole Mike Collins sugar thing, you want to start back at that?
Yeah, well, all your guests lately have been incredible. Your guest that was from, I think he's from the East Coast now or something. He lives in the East Coast. He said something really.
Yeah, so Steve McKellar.
Can we start with him?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was incredible what he said about his relationship. Imagine if you took alcohol and you abuse it the way you're abusing food right before you go to bed.
It's true.
People point fingers and call you an alcoholic if you're doing that before you go
chugging
to bed.
Chugging a bunch of beers before you go to bed.
And you would tell yourself that too.
Yeah. But throw a bunch of chocolate in your mouth.
And
no big deal.
Not a big deal. Yeah, it's just.
He just has a sugar binge.
Yeah, he's sweet got a sweet tooth. He's got a sweet tooth. Isn't that cute?
That's a good point. That's
I like that. I love that one. Yeah, that's a good way to think about eating.
Absolutely. And then how keto and has helped him with his running and stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Getting in good shape, like.
I guess.
Yeah.
So then, Mike Collins. Yeah.
Sugaraddiction.com, right? That was awesome. Interesting. Yeah. Like you said, the same sort of things around, well, like we always talk about the whole sugar, like substance abuse, real substance abuse. There's real comparable things here.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start to build up a tolerance as you put it back in. And the thing is when you're into this, into the keto, into, I'm assuming, carnivore too, which is what I'm trying to wrap my head around, because I used to think that I couldn't live without the carbs. I love carbs. You know, I love crunchy food.
Yeah.
So I thought I couldn't live without it until I did it. And then I realized when I was in the middle of that, I didn't even really think about it. I really enjoyed that piece of steak I cooked for myself.
Yeah.
And that's all I needed. I didn't really need to touch it until one day it's just looking, staring at you in the face. I don't know what, if it's the wrapper or what it is that gets you. And then you shove it in there, it becomes a thing again.
Yeah.
Now you think about it some more. You know, it'd be like taking that sip of booze for somebody who's an alcoholic.
It's a bit of like, trigger, I mean, people say it's a demon.
It's a force. So it's been an addiction for so many years that you didn't have your mindset on it, thinking about it, being mindful of it. So now when, you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And then if you do fall off the rails, you know how to get back on. And you know it's not, it is doable.
Because you get better at this game, I think, right? I think we get better playing this game. And then, but at the same time, I'm very close to being done with this game. I mean, I can't say I'm done with the game.
Yeah.
I'm done with the game. But I get it how people say, oh, I've been dieting for years. And once they sort of figure it out, they don't want to be obsessed with it. I get that. Yeah. But at the same time, I still have this passion to help people, right? So right. I'm still gonna feel like I'm obsessed about it a little bit, but that's okay because I feel there's a purpose for this, right? I think that I'm so grateful that I've found this, right? And people have shared this with me, and you always see like it's so awesome that I'm sharing and other people are sharing it. That like so we just gotta pay it forward, right? It's just like kind of loop it around, right? Send the keep on sending it. So the addiction thing was awesome, like I said. You know, and it's interesting, you know, a couple main things that he touched on was like support, community. That's how people get help. That's how you get out of any addiction, right? It's community, it's connection, it's human connection. And the other thing is like, have things that'll help you, have things that'll distract you, have things that'll like kind of help you refocus energy, just energy in general, because a lot of times if you're trying to avoid one behavior, it's a good idea to pick up another behavior. It's a good idea to pick up a good behavior, right?
Exactly. Like, that's with the support. I'm talking like your podcast.
Yeah.
Listening to that while you're doing this, you know, you're in the middle of it. So next month when the first little bit is difficult, I'll put on your podcast. I'll put on somebody's podcast that relates to this topic, and I'll listen to information about it. And it is like it's a key part of the success here, I think, as well, is that there's so much more information out there now, and you can take it in a bunch of different ways that will help you. You know, so for me, it's the podcasts. I listen to them. They're in my ears while I'm puttering around the house, and I listen to that, and it's support while you're doing something that not everybody else in the world is doing, because that's difficult.
Yeah,
it's difficult, and I've said that before on the podcast. When people throw all these tough questions at you, and they want to debunk what you're doing, they want to somehow, even though you look healthy, they want to make sure that you know that it isn't healthy for you.
Right. Which maybe is not completely right?
wrong.
I know it's crazy.
That stuff can get in your head. I know we're all strong people.
Yep.
And I think I am.
But we're susceptible.
But we're susceptible to the rest of the world. So not everybody is doing this. So. It's working for us, and we're supporting each other, and there is more out there, too. Like, if you get sick of listening to us, there's more out there. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And that hit home to me, too, because he reiterated the whole reason why I'm doing this is the whole community, like we said. It's the whole, we're building a tribe, we're building a family. I mean, the thing that we even just growing up, the whole familia, you know what I mean? How I grew up, Italian, the whole big thing. And it really is. It's this online family, and it's a support, because whether you call it a family or a tribe or a community, it's you helping me and me helping you, and together we're better than alone. It's just that we're better in numbers, right? You know, apes good in numbers, you know, bang our chests together. And this is how we work well. So that was an awesome episode. And after that, what did you think about Rick and Lisa Wechter, the farmers?
Oh, that was interesting. There's so much information, stuff I obviously didn't have a clue about how it actually, you know, the steps before it gets to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Didn't know all that much about it. It's just I go get steaks. For me, I figure that a better kind of steak comes from the butcher, so I just go there and it looks nicer. So, yeah, I don't really know the process though, and it's nice to hear a little bit more about it and get into it. You know, this is part of it too, knowing what you're eating.
Exactly. One of the best things I loved about what they're doing is that they're actually regenerating. Right. You know, they're, you know, one of the biggest complaints about farming is that it's taking from the soil and you know, ranching is that taking these animals and the fact that they're actually giving back to the soil and they're leaving their land in preferable better shape than it was before.
Right.
And you're feeding the world. So it makes me really feel good about what they were doing. And then I was awesome. I was so happy to be able to visit their farm like a week and a half later, or 2 weeks later and visit the animals. And it was so amazing. Like, it's crazy. I feel like I'm 41 years old. It's the first time I've actually stood within a couple feet of a cow, and it was amazing. I was like, these beasts, I was almost in tears, I tell you, because I was like, I was so amazed on, like, I was first humbled. I'm like, holy shit, my God. I've lived my whole life, and I've never been in a farm. You know, what the hell's the matter with me, right? And then I was like, just so thankful to these people, like, what they've done and what they do every day and every week. And, you know, they go out there, and they check on the cows, and they look at them, and they talk to them, you know, they name all these animals. And it's just amazing to see that it's real people like me and you that are raising these animals. It's not this crazy idea of this factory crazy farm. It's
real. You don't want to see any harm come to them too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they care about them a lot.
I believe that. That comes across definitely in that podcast.
They love those animals.
That they do, yeah. It's not fake. You can tell. No, it's they do have a connection to their animals. Yeah. And into their product. Like, any business owner would, or good business ethical. Owner should. Yeah,
exactly.
Not just the ethical, but just to have that much faith in their business too. And
that's true.
Treating their animals well is going to produce a way better product. So
yeah, and better customers, and then better environment.
And for the ethical reasons too. I don't know anybody that really is happy to know that their steak was tortured before it hit their plate.
Exactly.
Nobody wants that.
No, no one would choose that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, like back to the whole ethical thing, is a lot of times the worst case scenario gets on TV. The worst case scenario, obviously, is in a documentary, and the people who see the documentaries, and they're terrible things, right? So they should be stopped, but a lot of times they take that one image and they just assume that's every cow. That's every pig.
That's the thing with documentaries too, is who's funding it, first of all, and then just it's too much one-sidedness.
Yeah,
it's
the propaganda films.
For either side of the coin we're talking about here, I don't think you should just watch a documentary and go ahead with it. It takes a lot more than watching a documentary.
Exactly. You should first watch the documentary, but then try it and experiment. And then
research more. And where did this documentary get their information from? Yeah. And delve into it some more there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Listen to some more what these doctors have to say. I'm talking about keto and, of course, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why a lot of this, I always land back at the same place or similar places with keto and carnivore, is that it's very logical because it seems natural. There's no technology needed to hunt an animal and eat it. Right, it's the most basic thing. Even if you wanted to be like a minimalist, and even if you're not right, the minimalist thing is to be kill an animal and eat it. So, if we've evolved this, you know, this many millions of years doing that, it makes sense that we would probably still need to do that. And to me, it doesn't make sense that we would all of a sudden be better off with food that's made in a lab, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day we'll get so smart that we could replicate something that's close, but I don't even think we're even close right now.
It's quite possible that, you know, there's that big disconnect now between eating your food and how it gets there. You know, like we're not part of that process anymore.
Yeah,
and if we maybe all we should be a little bit more. I'm not a hunter, but I'm not anti-hunter, that's for sure.
No, for sure.
And I think that's a definite we should have the stones to take what we put on our plate, like ourselves.
Exactly.
I think it's important.
Because we're not that many years away from we're not that many years away from a time where we needed to do it on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All of our grandparents were farmers, weren't they?
So we put all of this on somebody else to do it for us, do all the dirty work for us. Yeah. It's not so going to a farm, visiting your local farm, which I'm sure that farmers like who you had on.
Yeah, Rick and Lisa.
That they would love to show people around their farm. And any other farmer would too, generating more interest in what people are eating.
Yeah. Exactly, and exactly it educates the public. It's things that we used to do as kids, you know, take people school trips to farms and stuff. And, you know, I don't know if they do that as much anymore, but I hope they do. I just read about it the other day, actually. They took some class, high school class, took to a slaughterhouse. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty real, right?
Yeah.
Now, hopefully they weren't trying to scare them. They need to know, like, how this food gets to your plate, right? So, yeah, no, I really loved that episode. And I'm going to have a few more episodes with them as well because we could talk for hours. I mean, awesome. they're very big into the savory, you know, methodology of the regenerating the earth, and it's awesome. So we're definitely going to be talking to them. And then again, like I said, the other kind of arm of the equation or the other side is butcher. I was talking to Nick and Christy, you know, from Meet the Butcher Prime Cuts here in town, and that was a great conversation as well, you know, to show how he cares about the meat, you know, the importance of getting good quality meat and where he gets it from, and like you said, keeping your customers happy, you know, and just being an honest businessman. This is what I have. It's a good product, and this is what it is, right? And I like that because they're, again, like these, you know, all the butchers and the farmers, you know, they need to be heard, I think, and you know, I think they need to have a voice, and they don't scream, they don't make noise, right? It's the anti-meat people that make a lot of noise, right? But it's not the meat people who make a lot of noise, and these people, I think, because they're busy making a living, like it's so little money probably for per hour work that they don't have time to go and you know,
that's right,
lobby and stuff like that. It almost seems like that.
It's unfair the way they have been demonized for so many years.
Yeah.
And the sugar industry seems to, it's not that nobody knows that sugar is bad for you, but not how bad and what it actually does for you. Do a lot of people know that sugar makes you perpetually hungry? Do they know that? Do they realize that?
They believe
when you eat things that are high and rich in carbs, that you're just going to be out of that fuel very quickly and right back hungry again.
Yeah.
And there's all these calories left over unburned. Like,
I know, it's crazy too. I mean, one of the things I keep on thinking too of how, you know, oftentimes we think of how can we get the message through, right? Like, how do we get certain, you know, snapshots or sort of like sound bites at things that get up people's, you know, how can we get people to think about it? You know, it's just like, you know, people don't realize like how we need to sit back and think how much crap is in our environment, right? How much crap food it is. And it's like you said, we've kind of just accepted it all. And we've kind of just say, well, you know, try and work it out or try and walk so much or try and limit it and try and do this and that when we kind of, it takes a lot of people. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it takes some bold people to stand up and put their foot down and say, no, there's a lot of shit food. We need to start doing it. But it's hard because we're in the same time where everybody's offended by everything, right? We're in this microclimate where everybody's offended, where it's hard because on one hand, I want to stand up and say, hey, kids, don't eat sugar because it's going to help you down the road if you don't. But on the other hand, I'm going to, you know, I might get comments from this group saying, oh, you don't want to offend our children.
Well, you don't want to tell them.
You don't want to tell them what to do. And then we're fat shaming and then we're everything else, right? God. I mean, that's, yeah. I need to somehow loop the whole fat shaming and own fat shaming for Fatso Radio. Yeah. And to be able to do it with a grain, or with, not a grain of salt, but with love behind it, because.
Exactly. We understand because we're both overweight.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not even fat shaming. It's, we should be sugar fucking shaming is what we should be doing, right? Yeah, yeah. And it's like indirectly fat shaming.
Call a spade a spade here. I know. I see somebody that's really, I don't want to yell at them and make fun of them, but I do want to yell out my car window. Like when I see somebody struggling to walk down the road and they're really overweight, I just want to scream, it's the sugar. Get off the sugar.
But in the sad reality is that like that will do nothing for them to hear that, right?
No, I guess not. But
because
it seems like that should be enough.
Well, it's what I hear and I see every day is that even people that are looking for solutions have a hard time really grasping that it's the sugar. And I think the reason for that is because they've been told that sugar is this and a carbohydrate is this. Sugar's bad, carbohydrate is good, right? That's what they've been told. Yeah. And essentially, it's the same damn thing. And we need to stop saying that healthy whole grain carbs, you know what I mean, are really healthy, exactly. We need to stop saying that. We have to tell it what it is. It's a carbohydrate, right? And I think we've been giving this conflicting information for so long. That's why when someone hears me say sugar's bad, they're like, fuck, man, what do you mean? Right? Or they say, I know sugar's bad. Of course candy's bad. And then they go out and eat their bagel, right?
Right.
Or four bagels or whatever it is, or, you know, large pizza, whatever it is. And the thing is, like, we can... I'm not going to shit on anybody. I'm not better than anybody, but we've done it. We've done the same patterns. I've eaten every shitty food that anybody else has eaten.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We've had every bad eating behavior tied to a vendor of drinking or tied to whatever.
Exactly.
And, and we've seen it happen. And it's been interesting to see these different perspectives. And honestly, man, this 2019 has been awesome for me. I'm excited for 2020. Do you have anything off the top of your head that you can think of as far as like any goals or any things you'd like to see?
I still want to get under 200. But it's going to take some planning. That's what I'm going to work on for next year. I thought I was going to get it this year, but.
You know what? I thought I was going to hit 199 by New Year's. And I'm like, unless I start throwing up, I'm not going to do it. That's a whole other podcast. I'm hovering around 210 right now or 215 even, but I'm like, I had a good year. Like, I've had an awesome year. Like, better than most years of my life, right?
Well, I was around 215 for the entire year, I maintained.
Me too.
A weight that's actually, according to Google, is within the scope of a man my height. So
that's awesome, man.
Imagine that. I'm not overweight anymore, buddy.
And, like, it's been, how long? It's probably been 20 years since
whole adult life, yeah. I have to say I was overweight.
High school, probably, since?
I don't remember weighing this weight. I just... Yeah. It was probably my teens.
Yeah.
When I went above, my late teens, when I went above 215.
Well, that's amazing. Like this year I hit 206 and I came into grade 9 at 209. Yeah. So like it was crazy for me grade this eight. Year, man. It was
grade
amazing.
Eight was the last time you weighed this?
Grade 8. Yeah. 13 years old or something, right? Like, you know, and quite honestly, I've been the same height. So imagine how big I was in grade 9. Yeah. I was a big kid.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, like it's you know, I've been in your 14 and I'm 41. Like, I mean, it's been 30, whatever that, no, almost 30 years, right? 26 years I've been, you know, like a big person. Wow. So it's been a long time. And it's funny. I was like, when I hit 206, I'm like, man, I'm going to hit 199, no problem. And then some kind of awesome event came up. I had something to drink or something to eat. Or, you know what I mean?
Off the rails for a little while, but get back on.
But exactly. And like I said, we've, I know better today than I did in the past on how to do it. You know, we were starting to figure out. I feel every day like I'm figuring out more and more. I still feel like keto and even now carnivore, I feel like it's a hack, man. I feel like it's something that, this is why I want to share it too, because I feel like if I went to a casino and I had a, you know, a tip that could win money at the casino, I want to tell people, and that's kind of how I feel about this.
It must feel like a hack because it was just kept from us, like under a shroud.
Exactly. I feel like it was right under our nose.
Yeah.
I feel like it was innately in us. Like we knew salami was fucking good for us, right? Like, I still say this. People laugh when I say salami is good for me. I believe homemade salami is just as good for you as steak. Because it's just real food and salt, right? That's all I eat when I eat steak.
But I just a couple years ago, I didn't think steak was good for me either, though.
Exactly. So
I
thought steak was bad. And we were worried about eggs. Bad. And we were worried about
cheese.
Don't
eat that red meat. That's bad for you. Bad. Don't eat that chicken skin. Yeah, bad for you.
Don't eat 8 eggs a day, Carlo.
8 eggs. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do 8. I'm up to 4.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good for me. That keeps me full and full of energy for a lot of hours. Like, I'm talking a good 6-7 hours before I need to eat.
And you're working. It's not like you're just doing nothing.
A working day,
exactly. It's a working day. You're not sleeping.
Maybe even doing some exercise or something too, going for a long walk. Still, don't need to eat. And even when it is time to eat, like when it's, you know, okay, it's now 6 o'clock in the evening or something.
Yeah.
And I haven't eaten in a good 6 hours, 7 hours. Not in that big of a rush. Like, I'm good and ready once I sit down.
Yeah,
it's like
you're not.
But I'm not like, oh no. But when I was on the carbs, man. Yeah.
Well, the hangry was a thing.
Rip those cupboard doors off.
Yeah.
Shaky.
Faint
feeling. Yeah. Like if you did some exercise, if I did some exercise, that's what I would be with. If I miss lunch, dude, get out of my way.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind for being in my way.
Yeah.
And then look out. I'm going to those cupboards.
I don't know if I told you this,
healthy weekends.
I don't know if I told you this, but I was that guy that ate lunch at 11:30 every day. I could not wait.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what is it, lunch?
I don't really care. It's because I load up on fruit and yogurt. And I might as well have a chocolate bar and ice cream.
Yeah.
That's how I feel now. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Start my day with that. Be starving by 10 o'clock, watching the clock and never making it till noon and just scarfing down my lunch. Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, my goal this year by the end of 2020, I mean, I'd still be to probably hit 199, right? I'll do my definitely goal. And it's definitely possible. I mean, if I'm around 20 pounds, I'm probably about 220 right now, 215. You're probably hovering around the same, you said, right?
215,
So it's definitely possible. How are you going to do it? I mean, my thing is I'm going to try and be probably pretty strict carnivore. Definitely for January, I'm going to be 100% strict carnivore because January is World Carnivore Month. So maybe you should do it for January.
January is?
Yeah, it's World Carnivore Month.
I'll be gathered. I can start.
It only takes January. One day to get back in.
I can start in January. I'll give you that. Okay. I'll start in January, but I need a couple weeks after this to do the keto, wrap my head around it. I know how I am now. I can't just, I don't want to take on multiple things.
Jump back in it.
So I don't want to go all the way and just fail. So I know that if I do keto, I can maintain.
Okay.
And then I'll take,
so maybe
I'll
do dip February
my toe
1st.
In carnivore.
Maybe February 1st, try carnivore for a month.
Yeah.
The idea
I just think
of
I need
doing
about
it
for
2 weeks.
A month.
Yeah.
I think I need about 2 weeks now on keto.
Yeah.
Strict keto and intermittent fast.
Okay.
For 2 weeks, and then I could jump into carnivore. That'll give me time to get some bone broth ready.
Nice.
And organize my freezer the way I want it for that venture. And then when I do it, I don't want to mess around. I want to make sure that I'm giving this a fair shot, just like I did with keto the first time around. And then
sure, you're prepared the right foods. Don't, so you're not lacking, so you're not going to be like,
not
make
lacking,
sure you have like.
I did mess around with this.
Do you like liver? Beef liver?
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely include beef liver. Include some beef in there, of course. Things like butter, eggs, you'll be great. It'd be great. That's easy enough to do, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'll be doing too. When I go, I'm just going to kind of go strict again. I'll probably try and dabble in and out of cheese. I've found that if I stay away from cheese, I can lose weight. It's one of those things that it's an easy
halts
thing.
A bit.
Yeah, it does definitely halt it. I can still do it with cheese. But cheese is amazing, so I mean, we'll see.
Staying away from mushrooms now.
I haven't really had any mushrooms in a while either, and so far it's been pretty much the same. It's just the beef and or any kind of meat, really, right? I'm actually going to try and incorporate a little more fish. I really like salmon, so I'm going to try and eat salmon. I'm going to try and incorporate some more like salmon eggs or just fish eggs in general. They're really healthy for you, but just basically stay course. You know, I didn't cheat that much this year. Over the in the last kind of end of the year of the holidays, I cheat a little bit. But over the course of the year, I didn't really cheat that much. But so I'm going to try and stay clean again. I'm going to try and not have any cheats. Like I said, my philosophy is I don't plan to have cheats. If they come up, you deal with it. But I don't plan cheats because then there's always an excuse to have another cheat. Right? Exactly. Because there's an excuse comes up.
That social event follows it. Yeah.
Exactly. Or the unplanned thing that you wouldn't have planned for, now you have two things to cheat for. Like, fuck that, right? So if it happens, it happens. And they'll just kind of stay course, right? Like, I mean, a steady, you know, I'm still doing my exercise every morning. I'm still going to Kung Fu. And that helps out as well. One thing I would maybe suggest if you're looking for any suggestion, but if once you have your dial back in and you're still hovering around that 205, whatever, tweak your exercise a little bit and you might see a little bit of change, right? Like you already, you're right, biking or walking or whatever you do, right? You
do lots stuff, of
lots
stuff.
Of shit, right?
Yeah.
So I think that would be great. And like you said, I mean, I don't know, man, 2020 is looking good. It's like, I was super happy with what happened in the last couple of years, you know, what we've been doing. This, I'm super happy with this podcast. Like, you know, kind of like another wrap up again, the end of the year, like episode number 47. I'm almost 52 episodes in, which would be a year. That'll be in February, I believe. And it's awesome. I mean, you know, I kind of thought I was going to last a few episodes and, you know, get tired of it, or somebody would say, you suck.
Stick to things now, don't you?
Go kill yourself. But yeah, I'm doing it. And like I said, even if 90% of this, I'm doing this for myself, I'm like, I don't care. I love it. I love it. And I love that it's helping people. And I hear it every day. People are telling me that they like it. And so I'm just going to keep on doing it, man.
Yeah, thanks very much, buddy. You're my support, that's for sure.
Oh, thanks, man. And thanks for being on the episode, and thanks for sharing the love with everybody. Yeah, man, any parting words we can share with people for end of the year? I guess it's the 28th.
Eat meat.
Yeah. I mean, actually, that reminds me of something I want to kind of say. Is like, trust your body, right? Give it a shot.
That too. Huh?
Trust your body.
Listen to your body and
try to listen to you have to really try to listen to your body, and you're going to have to experiment with a bunch of different foods, maybe even eliminate a bunch of foods to really hear, so you can hear your body.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of noise when we're always inflamed, we're always eating bad food, there's a lot of shit going on, and we can't really hear it. But when you remove a lot of shit, and you start from a clean slate again, then you'll be able to really hear your body, I think. And I think that then once you teach once you learn, and then there's other battles you'll always have to go on with as far as, you know, willpower. But once you know what your body is, likes and you know and prefers, that's just more information to kind of help you along the way, right? So brother, thank you again. I love you, man.
Thank you
for being part of the show, and thank you everybody for listening. Thoughts of Radio, episode number 47.
Merry Christmas,
my brother.
Happy New Year.
All right, guys, see ya. Peace.
Let's say bye to everybody. Bye. And we'll say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye bye.